श्रीमद् भक्ति सुंदर गोविंद देव गोस्वामी महाराज की जय। जय ओम विष्णुपाद श्रील भक्ति प्रकाश श्रीराय देव गोस्वामी महाराज की जय। भगवान श्रील भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर की जय। जय सुपरिकर श्री श्री गुरु गौरंग कंदर्व गोविंद सुंदर जीव की जय। श्री गिरिराज गोवर्धन की जय। श्री रूपानुग गुरुवर्ग की जय। श्री स्वरूप रामानंद की जय। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जय। श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री वसरी गौ भक्तवृंद की जय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंद राधा कुंद गिरि गोपीदान की जय। वृंदावनधाम की जय। नवदीपताम की जय। श्री चैतन्य सारस्वात्मात की जय। श्री गुप्त गोवर्धन की जय। गंगा देवी जमुना देवी भक्ति देवी तुलसी देवी की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद विश्ववरेण्य श्रीलेश भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। श्री चैतन्य सारस्वात्मात आचार्य वृंद की जय। जय श्री भक्ति विमल अवधूत महाराज की जय। जय श्रीमती भक्ति ललित देवी दासी की जय। जय श्रीमान सुंदरानंद प्रभु की जय। सेवा वृंद की जय। समवेद भक्त वृंद की जय। निताय गौ प्रेमानंदे There's some question.
Maharaj, we have some questions from Tulasi Rani from Izhevsk on the initiation topic. She is asking, when we receive initiation, Guru gives us a seed of devotion. Can we consider it to be energy, a drop of Srimati Radharani herself? If so, can we think that Krishna is near our heart as he is always where Srimati Radharani is?
Sometimes we heard Srila Guru Maharaj say these words, say, faith is the halo of Srimati Radharani. The capacity for Krishna belief, Krishna conception, dedication to Krishna. At the same time, it's mentioned Krishna prema nitya siddha sadhu kabanoi shravanadi shuddha chite koroye udoi, that as Mahaprabhu tells Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, your actual swarup is as an eternal servitor of Krishna, Krishna Das and Radha Dasi, can say. Saying that is your actual eternal position. As in Shikshastakam, somehow or other, we're drowning in another conception at present. So within this world, the world of misconception, Brahmanda Brahmite, Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. So what does it mean? Going, wandering the length and breadth of the world of misconception. Ah Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punaravartanojana. From Brahma, Bhagavatam says, Avarinchi Amangalam. Even Brahma is visited by inauspiciousness. From that position down to the lowest, Yastvinda Gopa Matavendra Hoswakarma Bandhan Rupa Palabhajam Atanoti Karmani Nirdahati Kentuja Bhakti Bhajam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. There is from Indra to Indra Gop, and from the King of Heaven to a germ, a virus. From gross forgetfulness, gross misconception, to subtle misconception, but all not proper conception. Brahman, the Brahmite, wandering the length and breadth of the universe. What is the universe? It's referring to the world of misconception. Bhagyavanji, those fortunate souls, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Through the agency of Sri Guru Krishna, distributing himself mercifully, Bhakti Lata Bij, the seed of another type of life, of living, of loving, and affection. Krishna Bhakti Rasa. So, if we go back to Guru Maharaj's statement, he said, faith is the halo of Radharani. She is revealing Krishna. But we don't, there's something called bathos in literature, which means a transition from the sublime to the ridiculous. That's enough for us, then we can understand. That's a more proper way of expression. Are you saying? So you can move from this plane toward that plane. To try and bring her down in this plane, that's not a good idea. The transition is too abrupt and too forced. Means big, you know, agyata sukriti, gyata sukriti shraddha. Through the accumulation of sukriti, then there's some faith. But faith, admittedly, in the beginning, it is not fully developed. So to take the fully developed faith and Krishna bhakti and devotion to that world and try and impose it upon the new recruits of this world, it's not the way. So, and what is that verse? It's using the concept of bij, saying this divine substance in a seed form. We can say at the same time, factoring in other things that are said, that soil is capable of giving expression, right, to the seed of that type of love and affection. But as we told the other day, quoting Prabodhananda Saraswati and his Tasya Namostu Vrishabhanu Vibhodushepi slok, where he's saying, and this is spoken by, you know, the Astasaki Tunga Vidya, one of the principal eight, you know, Sakis of Radharani, saying, the direction in which she appeared is worshipable to me. Therein lies the secret, that when there's genuine appreciation, the evidence of that is that from the least connection, it's expressed. So, Krishna mantra hoite havi sangsara mochan. The mantra with the name of Krishna, sangsara mochan, relieves one of worldly mindedness, of the world, of the misconceived world. Krishna nama hoite havi Krishna rajran. But the holy name of Krishna will take us to the lotus feet of Krishna. And as Ramananda Mahaprabhu, in response to the inquiries of Ramananda, and he said, when at the beginning of our discussion, I saw you as a sannyasi, but now I see Krishna. And not only Krishna, because Mahaprabhu deflecting and saying, oh, you're a Mahabhagavata, you see Krishna everywhere and in everything. So when you see me, you're also seeing Krishna. Ramananda saying, don't deceive me, my Lord. But I see not only Krishna, Shama Gopa Roop, but the golden figure of a girl covering him, And this is astonishing. And Mahaprabhu is saying, I cannot conceal myself from your loving eye. So this is the loving eye, the vision of Ramananda Roy. He can see this. And in fact, just to make a point, relatively speaking, only he can see this. And Charitamritam, only he sees this. We understand by implication, that means Sarup Damodar, Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das. But to contrast, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he saw the Ishwara Murti of Mahaprabhu and Sadbhuj Murti. Ishwara means God in this context. He saw what was revealed to him was his divinity. He's not revealing to Ramananda his divinity, but his internal identity. In that sense, the internal identity of divinity in this context, Rasaraj Mahabhav Dui Ekarup. So that's a very, very high, the highest thing. So through the eyes of Ramananda, this has been seen, observed, and expressed. But as Guru Maharaj says, when he's giving mantram, Harinam, there's a circle and a circle within a circle. The circle within a circle is the mantram. The greater circle is Harinam, extending to the lowest position and taking one from the lowest position to the highest position. Which means the lotus feet of Krishna. Oh, and the point I was making, referencing Ramananda, saying, who else can, Radharani only, there's only one person that she embraces like that. That is Krishna. So being taken to the lotus feet of Krishna implies the service of the lotus feet of Krishna, which she reveals. But from seed to full expression. So what was seed, Shraddha, Sarusanga, Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, Nishta, Ruchi, Ashakti, Bhav. The bhavankur, what was in a seed level, and bhavan and bhava bhakti, the preliminary stage of Krishna prema, has blossomed, has flowered. We're told in that position, the fragrance of the seva of that particular servitor is unique and attractive to Krishna. So you need to cannot eliminate all the steps in between. So it will be healthier for us to follow the motto of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Pujala Ragapat Gaurava Bhange. Ragamarg, that plane of our service aspiration, Puja, it should be kept above as worshipable and not brought down into this plane. So one position removed, Guru Maharaj likes to express in that way. Like Govardhan, one stop, one station removed from Radha Kunda. Superior gurus living in Radha Kunda. He's saying, from Govardhan, go to Kusum Sarovar, collect flowers, go to Radha Kunda, serve, return to Govardhan. Same principle applied here. When Saraswati Thakur, they're constructing a new residence, and they find out what they call first floor, ground floor, he will live there, and then they're thinking, who can live above him? On the first floor, above him, if he's on the ground floor. And he said, oh, that will be for our, for Gaur Kishore Das, Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the Guru Varga. Always one step below. And then the prayers of Raghunath Das Goswami, same thing. So these things have to be conceived very carefully, and we should avoid overreaching, trying to go for too much too soon. But look at it structurally, sequentially, from good fortune, Bhagyavan Jeev, of the seed of this prospect, this possibility, coming in connection with that, and then gradually making progress towards that domain. Any other question?
There is one more question from Tulasirani, Didi. And you almost answered it, maybe you would like to highlight. She's asking, I know that sometimes mercy comes from the higher plane, but we cannot receive it because we are closed. Can it be that during the initiation one heart is so closed that it cannot receive the Bhakti Lata Beach?
What is required, as we spoke today, of the 10 offenses? Minimum requirement, Shraddha. How does Kaviraj Goswami define Shraddha? Shraddha, Shabde, Vishwasako, He, Sudrida, Nishchoy, Krishna, Bhakti, Koile, Sarva, Karma, Kritohoy. The belief that by doing this one thing alone, everything will be achieved. Sarva, Karma, Kritohoy, that's what it means. This one act alone, that means what? Sharanagati, surrender to Krishna. Not talking about the formality of initiation, talking about in principle. It has to do with surrender. Dikshakale bhaktakori atma samarpan. About self-giving. Guru Maharaj said it's so important to learn giving. If you have nothing to give, then he said, train the hand in giving. There's a saying, then give ash. That's which appears to be of no value whatsoever. Actually, in India, they can use it for some things. They clean pots, they do other things. Saying, then take some ash and distribute that, but learn how to give. So, the belief in this prospect, this possibility, and admittedly, in the beginning stage, it's not fully developed. But there's something there, some earnestness, some sincere hankering for a connection with the truth that will be reciprocated. As we told also this morning, mentioning Guru Maharaj saying, our solace is then that Krishna is a thief. So we're saying the Kremlin, the fort, the bulwark surrounding our hearts, we've constructed. He said, but our solace is not Krishna is a thief. He'll enter for his own purpose. He doesn't need an invitation. So we would like to think, hopefully, that we would invite Krishna. But in the case where someone's not inviting, agyata sukriti, some unknowing connection by the mercy of an agent, bring someone in connection with this divine substance, and gradually the heart becomes open to this possibility or this prospect. The Bhagavatam saying, at present the heart is there, that lust, anger, greed, envy, etc., they have a stranglehold on the heart. So many knots, the heart is knotted, there's a stranglehold on it. And by heart, what do I mean? The deep heart's core means our core consciousness. It's misdirected. Here it's compared to being knotted, like, you know, our friend Mahayogi, Bhaktivedanta Mahayogi. He had some coronary obstruction. I don't even know if that's a technical term, but then surgeons come and they unblock. So, in answer to this question, we have faith that the mercy of the Vaishnavas, they can unblock our apparently, you know, perpetually blocked hearts that are under the stranglehold of all these misconceptions and desires. Bidyate hridaya granti chidyante sarva sanghaya. kriyante tasya karmani mayi drishte akhilatmani. But by their grace, coming in connection with Krishna conception, the beauty, sweetness, reality, the beautiful Krishna conception has the capacity to cut those knots, ties on the heart, and release the heart's natural flow, devotion to Krishna. That's the idea. So our hope is that sometimes Gurudev would say, only two things we know for certain is that we are fallen souls and that Krishna is merciful to the fallen souls. So that hope, that prospect, you think, yes, by my own designs, my heart appears to be incapable of expressing anything remotely approaching love and affection for Krishna. But our hope is that by the service and association of the Vaishnavas, that can change. Agyanatim randasya gyananjana salakaya chaksurnu militam jena tasmai sri gurave namaha. The eye is cataracted, cannot see properly. Right? The cataract is eye of ignorance. It's obstructing the natural vision. So, Guru, like a surgeon, with laser surgery, surgically removing the cataract is eye of ignorance and restoring proper vision. And when there's proper vision, sambandha, abhideya prayojan, when there's proper vision, then one will be drawn irresistibly, charmed with Krishna. Srimati Radharani in the Brahmar Gita, Yaranu Charita Lila Karna Piyusha Viprut Sakrid Dadvanda Viduta Dandva Dharma Vinashta. Saying, one drop of hearing Krishna has this sort of capacity, potency, and Guru Maharaj compared it to, he said, like when a safe is locked, a vault. And he said, sometimes the criminals, they have some sort of acid, and they put the acid on that vault, the vault made out of hardened steel and such things. They put this acid on the vault, it eats a hole through it, and then the door opens. So Radharani is saying, one drop of hearing about Krishna is like your heart may be vaulted, what does it say, stone cold, closed, finished. One drop of hearing about Krishna from his devotee is capable of opening the heart and releasing its natural flow of love to Krishna. So we don't have faith in ourselves, we have faith in the Guru and Vaishnav, Krishna and his devotees. Yes?
Does it mean, Maharaj, that how much one is surrendered, that much he is initiated, regardless from the formal procedure?
You can analyze all kinds of things. We can say diksha kale, at the time of diksha, atma samarpan, and then, so we understand that general principle, you're offering yourself in service, and then we can say, well, how much am I really offering? How much am I really serving? Is it 1%, 5%, 25, 50? What is it? And we say, then we can say, well, then to that degree, you're initiated. What is the purpose of this sort of analysis? If we could say this, if that were really necessary, then it would be expressed there. Rather, it says, at the time of initiation, atma samarpan, you offer yourself. So we want that to be as earnest and sincere as possible. But any person will have to honestly say at that time, well, I mean, this is as much as I can from my present position. I can't guarantee the future. So, Narada to Vyas, that's still better than not. Because what will be achieved, even in a slight connection, right, the attempt to surrender, in whatever degree, he doesn't go into the details, saying whatever, but the implication is there by it being brief or limited. Saying still, what you get in that time for trying to approach the infinite, is there any end to that? Is there any end point where you say, I've now achieved the sum total of the infinite. There's nothing left for me to offer. I've now offered myself fully. There's nothing else remains. Radharani says that she's unable to fully give herself. So someone else is? Hare Krishna. So it's a matter of speaking. And the implication is there? Yes, there's degree. So we could say, yes, if I don't follow through on this self-giving and self-offering, then I'm taking initiation cheaply. I'm making a show, a formality, when there's no real heart there, there's no real self-giving, that will press someone to give, not to withdraw. I say, oh, because it's not really real, therefore it never really happened, see ya. No, if there's some level of sincerity, you'll say, yes, I should give myself more. Otherwise, why is Guru Maharaj saying, Srimati Radharani saying, I'm famous, the most famous devotee of Krishna, that I've given myself heart and soul to him, and I'm ashamed to say the truth of the matter is that's not true. Considering how great, how wonderful is Krishna, I've not reciprocated properly with him. I haven't really fully given myself to him. As mentioned in the Madhya Leela. And these are important points. It's not just one chapter, one aspect of one, it's the crux of the matter. Right? Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself coming as Mahaprabhu. What is Kaviraj Goswami saying? I may die at any moment, so let me tell you here essentially, really, truly, why Mahaprabhu descended and what's the inner condition of his heart. And what is he saying there? No prema gandasti darapi me horo. I don't have a scent of the fragrance of Krishna prema. What to speak of a drop of that divine substance? And what's the proof? You say, no, but we see, you're crying. We read the Chaitanya Bhagavad, and it says 100 times an hour you're falling to the ground, with tears soaking the ground, creating puddles, shooting out of your eyes like Ganga, like from a syringe. And he's saying, oh, that's to deceive people into thinking I have Krishna Prem. And he's echoing the sentiments of Srimati Radharani. So then what do we learn from that? Then we can understand self-giving, self-sacrifice, offering oneself is a dynamic process. As even those who we consider to have fully given themselves to Krishna think it's insufficient. So Rupa Goswami praises Swarup Damodar by saying Radha Mukunda Parasambhava Garma Bindu Nirmanchano Pakarani Krita Deho Laksham Utunga Sohrida Vishesha Vishat Pragalvam Devim Gunai Sulalitam Lalitam Namami. He's praising Lalita Sakhi, saying for the least, so that the least disturbance will not go into that plane. Everyone in the world has heard the concept of dying for a cause, sacrificing your life for a cause, right? Self-sacrifice. And it's praised so much in this world. But here Rupa Goswami is saying, giving a higher type of praise, saying, Lalita Sakhi is ready to take on Deho Laksham, means 100,000 bodies, to do the seva. This is another type of self-sacrifice, as if one isn't enough, another one, another one, another one, another one. So it's to show that it's dynamic, not some static point. Now I was initiated so many years ago, that's when I offered myself in service. Yes, that's true on one level, but then, you know, status report, continued self-giving, dedication, and not only now, but forever. So then we haven't properly conceived Krishna and his attracting capacity if we deny the potential for increased heart growth, development of heart, and self-giving, self-offering. But that said, it is the most valuable thing. So in Guru Maharaj's Prapanna Jivanamritam, in the introduction, he has a sloka, Bhagavat Bhakti Tat Sarvam Iti Utsri Jibidarupi Tainkarjam Krishna Padaika Shruyatam Sharanagati. It will give you everything, surrendering to Krishna. Sharanam, Braja Sharanam, Sarvadharma, forget everything. Give yourself to Krishna. And on theme of what we're speaking of tonight, when they say, Sakala Choryabai Shraddha Devir Gunagai. And how to get there, to that plane of self-giving and self-sacrifice? Forget everything else and just sing the glories of Shraddha Devi. The greater one's faith and belief, the more compelled they will be to act and offer themselves. And how is that acquired? Sadhu Sangha Satovare, by association with those who are superior, superior servitors, who are superior at self-giving, self-sacrifice. By their association and service, that tendency is awakened within us. So it means the prospect of increased capacity. Any other question? But Gurudev said, quoting Guru Maharaj's his godbrother, someone is, you know, at 1%, someone's at 5, 10, 25. And the Bhagavatam itself says, Nashta Prayesha Vadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Or Nashta Prayesha Vadreshu Nityam. Yeah. Means what I interpret as a tipping point, meaning that at a certain point, this self giving, then many things are like that. So they're saying, it doesn't have to achieve 100% to get like 100% result. And Guru Maharaj is saying, Saraswati Thakur said, Sharanagati is not like a post-dated check, it's cash in the hand. That means from day one, day two, from beginning, middle, and end, by self-giving, surrender, self-sacrifice, you get something very, very valuable. The real substance of Krishna consciousness. What can increase. No limit on these things. So that's why there are all these stories of these great devotees. Like when we hear about that Kalidas in Chaitanya Charitamritam taking the remnants of the Vaishnavas. It's not something to imitate. But when we hear that, we're just saying like, what kind of person is this? He gives them some, waits outside their house till they like take, they always, like the leaf plate, and they throw, and then they go back inside, and he comes out, you know. I think, like, who is this person? And he's in the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and showing, it's telling us such a level of belief is possible. And there are many such examples, not just what comes to mind. Yes.
The question about one of the offenses, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. Mm-hmm. What does it mean in practice?
Well, it can mean different things. That's why, and Chaitanya Saraswati, under Srila Guru Maharaj and Srila Gurudev, the japa mala for chanting the holy name of Krishna is given at the time of initiation and not before. Because there's another idea that, no, well, before someone has faith, we'll give them this and see. That can be that. It may not, but it can be. You're saying, well, wait, if they have faith in the holy name, which is the requirement, then why can't they be? And actually, they are being given. That's the other part. Someone's taking a mala, handing it to them, showing how to chant and chanting. They're doing the whole, like the formality of an initiation, but saying it's not official. And we'll see how well you do, and then, you know, come back. So, I understand Prabhupada, I mean, anyway, without getting so much into that, but when he first initiated people, he didn't have them chanting on beads before he initiated them. When he held these initiations, he had the beads. They approached him, he gave them the beads and instructed them how to chant the holy name. These other things evolved later, and this isn't the place to discuss that. But, so, Srila Prabhupada himself, he used this expression very often, what he called submissive oral reception. Saying, if some person is not inclined, they're not submissive, they don't want to hear something, then what compels you to instruct them? He said there has to at least be submissive oral reception where someone's expressed the willingness to hear. If someone is dismissive of God in general, Krishna specifically, or the possibility of Krishna consciousness, then why are we telling them details of these things? Sometimes devotees, they think, oh, how do we preach to people who are just totally atheists and against everything we're doing? You don't. Because it has to be predicated upon the notion of some willingness to hear and accept. That's faith in its most, you know, minuscule form, is the willingness, well, let me hear what these people have to say. If that's not there, then we shouldn't be instructing what to speak of, as it says, the glories of the holy name, telling so many things to someone who doesn't believe any of this has any possibility or prospect. So they are, quote unquote, faithless. So there has to be at least that some willingness, submissive oral reception, the willingness to hear. One time Prabhupada said that, you know. He said, if someone will just say, oh, let me hear what they have to say, or, oh, let me hear what Krishna has to say in Bhagavad Gita, let me hear what his devotees have to say, they're willing to consider it, at least. But otherwise, I say, if someone is dismissive or challenging, that's not the time for that. We're not discounting, you know, if Ramanuja Charja, as the Acharya of the Sampradaya, is debating, you know, an Acharya of another Sampradaya, that's another thing. And we see, interestingly, even in the case of Saraswati Thakur, for all of his, you know, say, ferocity of representation of Krishna conception in so many different ways, we don't hear of some famous meeting where he's arguing or challenging sahajiyas and having public arguments with them. And that could have easily been, rather he is just withdrawing from that. He's not silent, but he finds some other way for expression, publication or otherwise. And he's a charja. It may come to the acharya to have to represent the dignity of the line. That's another thing. But when devotees are approaching others, admittedly, there's some risk there in preaching. We go to an open assembly, we're taking the risk of saying things in favor of Krishna conception, and there are people there who think, I'm not interested in this. So on one level, we could say, well, we're risking offense by doing that. But because it's for preaching to, capture,
propagate,
make propaganda in favor of Krishna conception to innocent people who can appreciate that. We're told preachers take that risk. But not to unnecessarily take that risk. And say, how do we preach to Christians? Well, first, find a Christian who's interested in hearing about Krishna, and half of your work is done. But if someone is not interested, then what compels you to approach them other than ego assertion? So then in the name of glorifying Krishna, really it's some ego-driven activity, that's an offense. It's not preaching. So, you know, there's the word to vet. And dealing with people, they're vetted to see if they have some interest, then a little more can be expressed. Some general representation, then it can get more specific based upon legitimate inquiry. Like the verse says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprajnena sevaya. What's relevant inquiry? Pariprajnena sevaya. The interest to come in connection with the service plane, not just curiosity. Any other question?
Can we have spiritual desires at our practitioner's stage? Does it mean that we should be aware that all force that drives us from within, all our inspiration is caused by mundane desires and then should be managed and directed by intelligence?
Well, who's asking the question is obviously very, you know, observant and self-analytical. So that's a question devotees will constantly ask themselves. Is the basis of what they're doing self-assertion, pratishtha, or is it in fact a genuine service attempt? So we aspire to say, move under the influence of Guru and Vaishnav, and how they inspire us. We want to respond to that, but we're cautious. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karma janavritam. Why is Rupa Goswami saying these things? He's saying real devotion to Krishna is not covered by or tinged with karma and jnana. So that means the devotee will be cautious about those tendencies. Is this something, just a karmic tendency, a karmic assertion within me, or on the jnana side of things, just curiosity, knowledge acquiring, or am I, is this a genuine response to service necessity? Those things will be considered constantly, consistently by self-analytical devotees. Guru calls it atma samiksha, self-examination. So we, and Guru Maharaj says, we should not be overly confident in our own assessment of things. So that leads the sincere, aspiring servitor to inquire from superior Vaishnavas, superior in experience and realization, because we can be mistaken. But pratishtha, self-assertion, self-establishment, told is a subtle thing and difficult to detect, so devotees are extra cautious about that. To save ourselves from that, told whatever praise may come our way to transfer to the lotus feet of Sri Guru. And that will save us from the desire for recognition. Some recognition is coming, transfer that to Guru. Yes, any other question?
But devotees always think that he has no spiritual capacity. So why should even ask oneself? Why not to acknowledge?
Because something is coming from Guru that's animating the servitor. So it's out of gratitude, not self-certification or self-praise, but gratitude and receiving something from Sri Guru and expressing the appreciation for that by offering the praise to Sri Guru and extending what's been gifted to us to others. Otherwise, we will be paralyzed into inactivity and ever doing anything. It's another type of self-deception. Say, oh, because nothing I do is actually pure, and my motives are impure, and I haven't received it, so I don't do anything. I'm an honest person, very honest. So I don't try to serve the Vaishnavas or represent what I heard from the lips of Sri Guru or any of these things because I know it's imperfect. So I just engage in karma, like the karma vadins. Krishna is teasing about that type of mentality in the Govardhan Leela, where they say, whether there is a God or isn't a God, who am I to say? I don't really know. Come on, you know we don't really know. Right? So, but what I do know is right from wrong, So I do what's right. And if there's a God, I'm doing the right thing. If there is no God, I'm doing the right thing. So Krishna's saying, in this way, karma occupies the supreme position. That's what he's telling us. And if what you say about Indra and you did this work, therefore he has to reciprocate that, so he's not really a factor, is he? He doesn't have a choice. You did all the good things. He doesn't have a choice in the matter. So the deity, and by Indra, and by extension, God is being eliminated from the picture. He says action and reaction. So if I do good things, I'm going to get the result from that. Whether there's a God or there is no God. So let's just do the right thing and call it a day. Why all this talk about God? There's nobody here qualified to do that. It's a type of thinking. It's a type of atheistic thinking, actually. In the guise of being reasonable, rational, it's a type of atheism, like pragmatism, saying, we should concern ourselves with whose opinions matter. So you don't know if they're like those Greek people, they're the gods. What does Zeus care about what you're doing? You don't really know. You never met Zeus. You haven't seen Zeus. But you met me and all these other people. I have some things I'm concerned about. You have some. So let's just get together and, you know, work something out. Forget about all these gods and goddesses and what they like or don't like. You'll never really know anyway. It's atheism. It's to take one away from the culture of faith. That's why theists who try to prove the existence of God, they've actually been seduced by atheists. They're playing the atheist game, which is this rational proof thing. Jiva Goswami doesn't talk that way. He says, achintya shakti. First thing he says, inconceivable potency. What does Gurumar say? First thing after you accept, the infinite can make itself known to the finite. That means revealed truth. And they'll say, well, rational, educated, they won't accept that. Well, that's their problem. So we play this game with them about interpreting evidence that's been acquired by the senses, mind, intelligence, etc., which Jiva Goswami dismisses wholesale as being erroneous and leading one towards false conclusions. Shraddha, so what are you saying? We're talking about faith, not so-called rational proof. Within the world of measurement, we want to take what we have a consensus upon, achieve the consensus upon as units of measurement. We're now going to measure the infinite, or verify cancel the existence of divinity. It's an arrogant position. The finite will now dismiss the infinite, or the finite will bring the infinite and the court of the finite and interrogate the infinite. But mainly, finite dismissing the infinite. That's a sad thing and tragic. Whereas, the finite acknowledging, as Gurumar said, that the infinite can make itself known to the finite. That's a wonderful thing. That's the starting point, the culture of faith. Yes, as we sing in the song, you know, yogyata vichare kichu nahi pai. If you examine me, you will find nothing of value. But you are merciful. Right? As Guru Maharaj says, without the grace of Sri Guru, we are lifeless clay. But we should not discount a possibility of the life of, and the grace of Sri Guru. That's what gives meaning to the life of the servitor. So Srila Prabhupada, as when reading Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, his interpretation of Vyavasayatmika Budhi Ekeha Kurunandana, about the, what Prabhupada calls the resolute determination to pursue Krishna consciousness. He's saying, I realized on the basis of what Vishnus is saying, that this is the raison d'etre, the, you know, the reason for being for the disciple, is to execute the order of the guru. That's why the disciple lives. That gives life to the disciple identity. Saying there's the order of guru, and to offer what I have, however flawed, imperfect, undeveloped, disqualified, to, in connection, sometimes Gurumaharaj called, you know, the magic wand of the lotus feet of Krishna. That idea of the magic wand. You wave it in front of something, it becomes transformed into something else. Told Vaishnavas are sparsha money. They can take the most base metal and transform it into gold. This type of thinking is, so we're saying, yes, we're like that base metal. Sanatana Goswami and says this in regard to Diksha, yata kanchanam yati kangsena, I forget, dvija something, saying through this process, bell metal can be transformed into gold. So it's realistic for the servitor to say, you know, we're like that crude substance, but by the sparsha money, touchstone, philosopher's stone / touchstone of connection with the Vaishnava, that can be transformed into something of extraordinary value. That's the prospect that has touched our hearts, awakened within us, and belief that, yeah, if I, this one thing, if I try and do this, it can bring about this marvelous, inconceivable transformation. So all the things in this scenario are put in the right place. They're not thinking they've become that. They're just believing. That's the power of Guru and Vaishnava, Krishna and his devotees. This sort of transformative power. The paradox is, the more that devotee makes progress, the greater the expression of their negativity. Not that they're saying, well, I'm really noticing some remarkable transformations in myself. I'm very pleased. When Gurudev, so many wonderful things are coming to him in his final days, he is expressing like shock, dismay, like that it's somehow undeserved. Why are now these slokas, they're revealing layers and deeper levels of understanding to me. Why? From an observer's point of view, I thought, Myers, because of your lifetime of service, this sort of increased depth of understanding is coming, even at this time. But he's thinking it's undeserved or unwarranted. That's pure devotion. That's the hallmark of the pure devotee. So Rupa Goswami gives those examples. Daruka, Krishna's charioteer. He, one of his services is fanning Krishna. But while fanning Krishna is realizing, you know, reality the beautiful and my inconceivable good fortune to be in close proximity to Krishna and so many, and his divine form is being flooded with varieties of ecstasy, he becomes stunned. And whereas one might think, how wonderful is that? And how appreciative one could be. He's unable to fan, so he is cursing that ecstasy. Rupa Goswami is giving that example to give some insight into the mindset of a pure devotee. He's saying, I'm unable to fan, I'm not serving. So what we would find, inconceivable good fortune, he's lamenting that. And the other example, Srimati Radharani herself, saying, she's looking at the beauty of Krishna, her eyes are flooded with ecstatic tears. And she's saying, that's interfering with my vision of Krishna. Why do these tears of ecstasy have to come? They're impediments to drinking the nectar of Krishna's beauty. So it requires a very different sort of thinking. But beginning with conceiving of ourselves as low, mean, insignificant. But still, if a drop of hearing about Krishna, Krishna conception, can touch the heart of some mean, tiny, finite soul, they'll become in possession of something so inconceivably valuable that Krishna himself comes under the control of that substance. And it's called Krishna Prem. But really, that is love. Love and Krishna Prem are the same thing. And that doesn't mean, you mean the love of this world? I definitely do not mean the love of this world. What I'm saying is actual love and Krishna, they're the same thing. That love that we're actually hardwired to search for, the heart is hardwired to search for that. Really, it's Krishna Prem. It's not any other kind of so-called love that is... I mean, I'm sorry to say, even though I'm smiling, is extended selfishness. That's what Guru Maharaj calls it. And don't send me some email, but I love my children. I understand that. Go ahead. Pretend all you want. So we'll say, put it this way, to be more generous and kind, saying that love in its highest expression, if you take it to its ultimate and highest expression, it's Krishna Prem. Sometimes it's pervertedly manifested as a lust for matter in a very low, crude way, and then everything in between. But in its highest and purest expression, it's Krishna Prem. Prem Anjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santaksa Deva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti Yang Shama Sundarama Chintra Guna Swarupam Govinda Mari Purusham Tamaham Vajami. Hare Krishna. Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Hari Harai Nama Krishna Yadavaya Namaha. Yadavaya Madhavaya Keshavaya Namaha. Gopal Govinda Ram Srimadu Sudan Giridhari Gopinath Madana Mohan Sri Chaitanya Nityananda Sri Advaita Chandra Sri Garadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Rupa Sanatan Bhata Raghunath. Sri Jiva Gopala Bhata Dasa Raghunath. Sri Chaitanya Nitya Chai Go Chai Kori Charana Vandan. Jaha Hoite Vigna Nash Abhishta Puran. Chai Go Chai Jar Mui Taro Das. Tantra Bara Pada Renu Moda Panchagras. Tandera Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vas. Janame Janame More Abila. Chai Go Chai Jabe Braje Koilo Vas. Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Korilo Prakash. Tadara Charana Sevi Bhakta Sane Vas. Janame Janame More Abilas. Anande Bolo Hari Bhaja Vrindavan. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pade Majai Aman. Sri Guru Vaishnava Pad Padma Kori Ash. Kori Nam Sankirtan Kohe Narottamodas. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nitai Gaura Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaura Hari Bo. Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Gaura Hari Bo.
Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Parivrajaka Acharya Sitaras of the Sri Srimad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai. Jai Saparikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Ju Ki Jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai.
Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga ki jai, Sri Sri Pramananda ki jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhaktivrinda ki jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath, Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai, Navadeep Dham ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat ki jai, Sri Gupta Govardhan ki jai, Ganga Devi, Jamuna Devi, Bhakti Devi, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Om Vishnupad Vishvavaranya Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Acharya Vrinda ki jai, Jai Srila Bhakti Bimala Avadhut Maharaj ki jai, Seva Vrinda ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Nitai Gau Premanande.